Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes,
Our team today,
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces,
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics,
y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
and Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Peter Laws in Norman, Oklahoma. AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, and more. You'll hear all the latest news from the world of radio each week with Sheldon and Jill on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, July the 17th. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're live streaming at ckut.ca, also archived there. We have an email address if you'd like to reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome Noel, Brian, Buddy, and Linda to our group, which now has 813 members. And if you want to go back and listen to the show again or catch it at your own leisure, our YouTube channel is also International Radio Report. We have 665 subscribers there. So we'll get right to this week's news and information. We'll start off with a reminder for you. Coming up very shortly, actually, later today, our Canadian International DX Club, which is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year, will be activating our two amateur radio club stations. And we activate these from time to time, haven't done it for quite a while, on the ham bands, usually to mark special events, club anniversaries, etc. So our two club calls here in Quebec, Victor Echo 2 Alpha Quebec Papa, and that is operated by you, Jill.
Yes.
You'll be manning the microphone later on today. That is our Eastern Canada Amateur Club Station. It's located here in Montreal. And we have a Western Canada station, VE6 Sierra Whiskey Lima, and that is going to be operated by our CIDX Vice President, Mickey Delmage, and that's located out in Sherwood Park, Alberta. The station will actually be operating from Lamont, Alberta, at the QTH of VE6JY, Don Moman. So this is to mark the 60th anniversary of the CIDX Club. The VE2AQP station will be active on July the 17th from 1800 to 2200 Zulu. And look for Jill at around 14240 kilohertz upper sideband, plus or minus, depending on the activity and the conditions on the band. The Alberta station, VE6SWL, will be active at the same time. July 17th, 1800 to 2200, around 14265 kilohertz upper sideband. We will have the Quebec station operating again on July 31st. We'll give you more details about that when that gets closer, and that'll be a 40-meter band operation. We have some really neat designed EQSL cards available for contacts with the two stations. You can contact either or both, get the cards for both stations. We're also welcoming shortwave listeners to submit reports with your logs or for hearing either of the stations or both of them. And we'll send you off an EQSL. And if you're not already a CIDX member, we'll also send you a free sample copy of our bulletin, The Messenger. Be ready for that coming up at later today, 1800 hours to 2200 hours. VE2 Alpha Quebec Papa, and Victor Echo 6 Sierra Whiskey Lima. You can find out more information on these on our Facebook page for the show. We've got the information posted up there as well. Gilles, you're going to be keeping track of all the stations that contact you. Mickey and Don will be doing the same at West, and we'll be getting EQSL cards out to you. If you want to reach CIDX directly with a report, you can send it in to info@cidxclub.ca. So that's info@cidxclub.ca.
Really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we have news here. It's not a name that's known much outside of probably the Francophone Quebec audience, but a Quebec businessman, radio and TV host Pierre Marcotte, died of COVID-19. This is from the Canadian Press via CTV News. Pierre Marcotte, a well-known Quebec host and businessman, has died of COVID-19. He was 83. A resident of the Charlevoix region, Marcotte was hospitalized at the Institut Universitaire de Cardiologie et de Pneumologie de Québec, according to Productions Martin Leclerc in a press release. Born in Joliet in 1938, he began his career as a radio host while taking dramatic arts classes. After stints in Granby, Trois-Rivières, and Quebec City, he became a star host on CKVL in Montreal. Marcotte then embarked on a television career that brought him to the helm of several variety shows and quiz shows such as Les Tana on Télémétropole. He also hosted numerous other programs in the 90s and 2000s on television networks like TVA and TQS. In addition, he managed the Hélène de Champlain restaurant at Parc Jean Drapeau for 25 years. Marcotte was expected to return to the stage this September for a show titled Les Après-midi de Pierre Marcotte at the Montreal Casino. So this is a well-known name here in the Francophone audience. I remember as a kid, my mom listening to CKVL a lot, Pierre Marcotte being there, was very, very popular host at the time. And of course, then TV, he was everywhere on TV at some point. And so it's a really well-known name for us. You know, he didn't do anything in English, so the Anglophone audience probably doesn't know much who he is. It's really, really one of those very local Francophone artists and presenter and TV and radio host. But he's well known. Apparently, he was a very, very nice guy, too.
I was not familiar with the name myself, but as you say, there wasn't a lot, especially earlier years, there wasn't a lot of crossover between the Anglophone and Francophone communities, radio or TV. But CKVL was one of the major stations on AM in Montreal. They were on 850 kilohertz for many, many, many years. It was a very popular station, and he had a pretty good career there as one of their hosts as well. So sad news there, but 83 years old. A good lifespan, but COVID takes another one, unfortunately.
Last week we had a news item about Radio Canada that was asked to apologize for on-air use of the N-word, but it will appeal to the CRTC decision as it did apologize. This is via the Canadian Press. Radio Canada will appeal a decision by the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission concerning the on-the-air use of the N-word, but in the meantime, apologize to the person who complained triggered that decision. In a communique issued Wednesday, the French language network said the repeated use of the N-word during the radio broadcast was hurtful for certain listeners and employees, even though it was done in a journalistic context. We know that words can wound and must be used with care. That is why we are offering our apologies to the person who filed a complaint, the statement said. In a decision rendered on June 29, the CRTC ordered a public apology for Radio Canada for having lacked respect and sensitivity during a radio broadcast that discussed literary work by Pierre Vallière, published in 1968. The Federal Broadcast Watchdog conceded that the N-word had not been used as a form of discrimination, but said Radio Canada did not put in place all necessary measures to mitigate the impact of the N-word on its listeners. Despite its apology, Radio Canada maintains the CRTC exceeded its powers and that the decision represents a threat because the commission attempts to give itself the power to compromise journalistic independence. I think it's fair to appeal this decision. I think it is close to censorship when you think about it, when you start dictating what you'll say on the air or not. You know, we need to have the possibility to talk about arts, books, and any other work that might have undesired words freely, because, you know, we're not using it in a bad way. We're just talking about something that actually was published years ago.
We've had instances at CKUT here at this radio station where the station has defended the broadcasters in saying that, you know, certain terminology, certain words, what have you, were used, and the key is in context with the story. It's not like you're just taking this word randomly and just throwing it around. I mean, it was an integral part of the story and yep. The title of the book that they were discussing. So I can understand why the journalists do want to appeal. You know, they've done what the CRTC asked them to do. They have made the apology to the person who filed the complaint, but they do want to pursue it further. So we probably haven't heard the last of this story.
Oh, no.
We'll keep our eyes on the press and see if something further comes from this. We move to an interesting story that popped up by Dan Slentz on Radio World. I found this quite interesting. I thought our listeners would also. The headline caught my eye. I didn't really know what it meant at first. Radio with five O's. There are thousands of radio stations, thousands of streaming stations, thousands of podcasts, and thousands of listening options, with most, if not all, offering their services online. It's not too often, however, that a website stands out as pretty unique and very creative in design. May I present Radio, five O's, or the word radio followed by five O's. Radio, the website, is special because it's both international and designed to represent the various decades of music styles. You can click on a country, then click on a decade, and suddenly you're hearing music from, example, Ireland in the 1920s. It's simply a fascinating trip through music history, although I do wish it offered a few other choices of audio programming to make it more like radio. Dubbed the Musical Time Machine, the homepage features a free basic service. There's also a paid premium service. The paid features offer history and full tracks and allow for rewinding audio and bookmarking. But with or without the paid version, what this website shows us is a very creative way to reach listeners with unique programming. The difference between the services is the playlist's size and those bonus options. The rate, $4.99 per month or $49.99 per year for the premium service. The name may be a bit of a misnomer, as great radio is anything but just a bunch of songs. As we know, it's personalities, local information, at times theater, and so much more. But we'll assume that maybe there'll be more than music in the future on the radio site. How fun would it be if you had a choice of not just music, but on-air personalities from each decade, as in untelescoped air checks, radio commercials, and newscasts from each country and each decade? Though certainly quite an effort to program so much content with limited availability would be a fun addition. So I haven't tried this out yet, but I definitely want to give it a shot and just see, you know, choosing a country, choosing a period of time, and then just seeing what sort of music was being played during that time period.
That is definitely nice. You know how many times we go on YouTube and try to find old clips of even local stations? You know, we were talking many months ago of local Montreal radio in the 70s and the 60s, and I mean, you go on YouTube and try to find clips from those old days. This is a great project because, I mean, if you have a lot of choice and you're capable of going back in time, listening to on-air personalities that are long gone and stations that are long gone and the way they were doing radio and TV and whatever in the days, I think it's a great, great idea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can tap into some of those old air checks and personalities and combine that with the music would be really, really great. And I guess with a paid service, they might be able to put more effort into expanding the type of programming that they're going to offer. So check it out. It's the website is simply radio with five O's at the end of it, .com. That will get you to the site and you can follow your way through from there. So sounds like fun.
Yep. So what's happening with our sun? It's pretty active. Lots of sunspot groups, and including one that is pretty big. Actually, a couple that are pretty big. 3055 and 3057 are huge sunspot groups. And so, of course, we never know what could happen. There was a little bit of geomagnetic storming some geomagnetic activity this week that sometimes made reception a little bad on some days, but overall it was still pretty good. Now the solar flux is way up there. It's at 169 and the sunspot number 133. Hoping this will make the special event station today. I hope to work a lot of stations, including stations from Europe and everywhere, with this with the good conditions that might be there. We have no significant coronal holes, so nothing special or unexpected is going to happen. But we got to watch out for these sunspots, because big sunspots can actually flare, and you never know what can happen. But the best way to do so is to tune around, especially today at 18 UTC, for the special event stations. But you got to turn on the radio and listen.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Port every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
So there's a very interesting story by Radio Inc. Are You Just Going to Take This? Is the title. Radio Inc. Challenges AM/FM Radio. So Sirius XM has been running the following promo. Sirius XM has so much more to enjoy than AM/FM radio, with more ad-free music channels and more variety. You can even listen to shows and performances that you might have missed on your own time. Can your regular radio do that? Let's face it, Sirius XM has done a much better job at marketing their service to consumers than the radio industry has. Yesterday, the Sirius XM marketing email was sent out to consumers, taking a direct shot at all of you. Are you going to do anything about it, or just take the punch to the head and let it go? While we hear our radio is the number one reach medium, how over 90% of Americans spend time with radio, how the 18 to 34 demographic isn't abandoning us, how radio is free and still easy to use in the car, how radio punches below its weight class, most of that is done inside our own house to each other. What we haven't seen in a consistent national marketing campaign, month after month, year after year, marketing radio and its importance to local communities, or the companionship or personalities, local or national, bring to the listeners every day. And not just a PSA we play on our own radio stations at 3 a.m., you know, the kind of frequency our salespeople tell advertisers they need to follow if they expect their campaigns to work on our stations. Sirius XM shouldn't be allowed to just get away with telling consumers they are wasting their time with your radio stations, but is anyone in radio going to actually stand up and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore? Sirius XM has done something that nobody thought was possible, having people pay for content that is radio, basically. It's a different kind of radio, but it's radio in a way. And this shows that if you do things right and give the listener the content they want, they're going to pay for it. And unfortunately, radio stations, all of them, I mean, I don't see any radio stations in general that is really doing anything about it. I have the impression radio, AM/FM radio, has become this thing that is so difficult to change that they just let it slip away. And, you know, well, we'll put this on the air. We'll put that content on the air. That's what people want. And don't really work hard to figure out what people want in reality. And that means that it might slip away and it might move on to something else at some point.
Too much of what we're hearing on AM and FM is just generic. You know, you can go from city to city, particularly FM stations. Big companies that own a whole bunch of stations across the continent are putting out the same programming on so many different stations. You know, there's no real, a lot of local content is disappearing. Syndicated programming is inexpensive to run. Less people needed staff at radio stations. Everything is condensed, condensed, condensed. And as they do that, it becomes more and more generic. And stations sounding alike. We've talked about it endlessly here in Montreal with both the English and French stations. They're all trying to compete for number one, so they all try to sound like number one. Instead of just offering different products, like SiriusXM is doing, offering you hundreds of channels for really an inexpensive rate. You know, I think programmers, consultants that work in radio, need to start looking at how to make radio more appealing to more different types of people, different tastes, instead of just throwing out the generic stuff and saying, you know, listen to it if you want, don't listen to it if you want, we don't really care. You know, this is what we're giving you, take it or leave it sort of thing. I think some people have got to get creative, and I think it'll pay off in the long run. You know, maybe it doesn't work, but at least you try it. If it doesn't work, change it. Go to something else.
And what's the main difference between XM and radio? XM is actually investing money in creating and helping have great content. While standard radio, they're just cutting off the DJs, cutting off everything, saying, let's have the cheapest way to just broadcast something that people want to listen to.
Yeah, it's sad. I think there's an opportunity, and I like that this challenge has been thrown out by Radio Inc. to programmers out there on AM and FM. We'll see if any of them, as they say, if they are paying attention and if they want to do something about it. Next, we go to a story by Mathieu Raoul from Radio World Global. The EBU measures music diversity in radio programming. Kind of ties into our previous story, I think.
Yep.
Mathieu Raoul is a media analyst at the European Broadcasting Union's Media Intelligence Service. When comparing public service broadcasters' music programming with commercial ones, listeners can use subjective arguments such as the quality of the music or if it suits their taste. However, neutral and quantitative indicators also exist. At the EBU, we found that public stations broadcast around 5 times the number of unique music titles than commercial competitors. This striking figure comes from our latest report about music diversity in radio programming. Based on EBU's members' data and third parties' recent research, it focuses mainly on 3 key indicators: broadcast hours per music genre, unique music titles, and different artists featured in the programming. Across the 15 EBU markets in public service broadcasters' programming, pop music was the single biggest genre, making up 46%. However, other genres were also significant contributors, such as classical, 18%, folk and traditional, 9%, rock, 6%, and urban music, 4%. At the station level, different programming strategies are carried out. 1/4 of public station boasts highly eclectic music programming, while 2/3 are dedicating more than half of their programming to one genre. Organizations enrich their linear music programming offer with online streams, often aimed at minority groups and niche market enthusiasts. Across 22 markets, we found 204 of these online streams, including, for example, NPO's Funk, Arab France Musique's Baroque, or Classic 21 Metal. Public broadcasters play a greater variety of tracks than commercial stations. In German-speaking Switzerland, public stations played on average 4.5 times more unique titles than commercial ones. In France, 3 of 4 public stations covered by the study ranked in the top 5 radio stations, which broadcast the highest number of unique music titles among a total of 42 stations researched. In Belgium, Flanders, 72% of all tracks played on the main national stations were only broadcast on VRT stations. In the United Kingdom, commercial radio stations repeated each track 11 times more than the BBC. Finally, among Hungary's most popular stations, the ones broadcasting the highest number of unique titles were all public radio stations. Public service broadcasters play music from a wider range of artists than commercial stations. So we're seeing in Belgium, Flanders, without VRT, 68% of all featured artists would have remained unheard on the main national stations. In France, public stations featured 6,400 different artists, with commercial stations only 1,700. Undoubtedly, public service broadcasters have a unique contribution to the radio industry, crucial for music diversity. By covering a broad range of music genres, having a richer music catalog, and highlighting more artists than commercial stations, they have a decisive economic impact on the music sector. They give exposure to artists who will have a greater chance to increase their record sales and attract more audiences to live performances. Moreover, they also help cultural policymakers who strive for less concentration and more diversity, open-mindedness, and inclusion.
Listen to commercial radio, always the same, a very short list, a very small list of artists and songs. If you want to hear something, look here in Canada, what you want to hear different, you want to hear music that you don't hear all the time, it's easier you probably tune to CBC, one of the CBC music stations, or you will tune community radio stations like CKUT to hear what you don't hear anywhere else.
Yep, exactly. And they don't really care, you know, what their ratings are, it seems. They just want to give you that diversity, give you that choice, and give exposure to artists who just don't get heard anywhere else. So I think it's really positive. I think people, if you like that idea, you need to listen to those stations. You need to support those stations,
oh, yeah.
Encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. So I think that's a really good story, and I think it ties in really nicely with that challenge that Radio Inc. has put out to AM and FM commercial stations.
Yeah. It's like here at CKUT. You know, of course, it'd be fun to have some rating and know if, you know, some shows are popular, definitely. But it's not the reason of CKUT. It's a different opportunity of radio. It's a way of giving you content that you don't hear anywhere. And that means, and for the CBC, it's the same thing. That means not playing by ratings, just playing by what you want to air.
Yeah, you've got to be a little more open type of listener, though, because you may hear some stuff that you're not going to like, but at least you've been exposed to it, and you can pick and choose. You know, like we have different types of music programs here at CKUT. You can find your favorite shows and listen to them. You tell me about a program you listen to on a community radio station in Montreal on Friday evenings that's playing 80s music. You know, they're targeting a certain audience. They're catering to those listeners. I like to see stations doing that sort of thing.
So there's BBC News Ukraine that is marking its 30th anniversary amid global turmoil. And this is by Radio World staff. On June 1st, 1992, the BBC started short and medium wave radio broadcasts for then newly independent Ukraine. Today, BBC News Ukraine serves its audience via its website and through numerous social media platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. The Ukrainian service was the BBC's first non-Russian language service for the post-Soviet states, said the broadcast company in a recent press release. Initially based in London, with correspondents in Ukraine, the service eventually moved to digital platforms, primarily delivered from Kyiv. The excellent work of the BBC's Ukrainian service has gone from strength to strength over the decades, said the director of BBC World Service, Lillian Landor. As BBC marks 30 years of service serving its Ukrainian-speaking audience, however, Russia's war on Ukraine continues to hold the global center stage. When Russia launched its assault on Ukraine February 24th, 2022, the BBC News Ukraine began its live coverage. Published as the first explosions shot Kyiv, the live page continues to provide a platform for comprehensive reporting and analysis months later. Their coverage of the war really showcases their outstanding and often selfless professionalism as demonstrated by each and every one in the team, says Landor. Their journalism has been crucial, both for direct audience and for the BBC's UK and global audiences. According to the BBC, on the first week of Russia's invasion, BBC News Ukraine reached a record 5.6 million people across its website and social platforms. Over the following 2 months, the service has maintained a weekly digital audience that is more than double its average for previous years. Well, got to take note of that, Radio Canada International.
Yes, where's your Ukrainian service? Please bring it back.
So we are out of time.
We are. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. We'll give you our results of the ham activity. We hope to hear some of you. If you're ham, let us know when you contact the station that, hey, you listen to us on CKUT. Always great to hear that. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Le Festival Nuit d'Afrique, the rendezvous of world music, invites you to the 36th edition from the 12th to the 24th of July in Montreal. Do not miss one of Brazil's most amazing vocalists, Fabiana Coza, the pillars of Jinawi tradition, Mukhtar Ghania, and Jinawa Soul,